जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Goranita, 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 Jaya Goranita. Jaya Jagannatha, Jaya Jagannatha. Baladeva Jai Sri Subhadra Jayo Radha Balab Radha Balab Sri Radhe Jayo Radha Ballab Radha Ballab Shri Radhe Prabhupad 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 Jai Jai Prabhupad Jayo Jai Prabhupad 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 Jai Jai Prabhupad Jamishna Pahad Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharya Sartar Shri Shimada Vacharana Aravind Bhaktivadana Swamishala Prabhupad Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vashna Vrind Ki Jai Karantara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari All glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious to Shishi Guru and Gauranga, all glorious to Srila Prabhupad, Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Verse Number 59 Shiti Adinam Ihartanam. Shiti Adinam Ihartanam. Chaya na katamapihi. Chaya na katamapihi. Na sanghato vikaropi. Na sanghato vikaropi. Na prithannan vito mrisha. Na prithannan vito mrisha. Shityadinam ihartanam. Chaya na katamapihi. Na sanghato vikaropi. Na prithanan vito mrisha. Sangato vikaropi. Chadinam ihartanam. Chayana katamapihi. Sanghato vikaropi. Naprathannan vito mrisha. Chadinam ihartanam. Sangato vikaropi. Na prithannan vito. Mataji. Yadinam ihartanam. Na sanghato vikaropi. Na prithannan vito mrisha. Shityadinam ihartanam. Chayana katamapihi. Na prithannan vito mrisha. Shityadinam ihartanam. Chayana katamapi. Sangato vikaropi. Word for word meaning. Chityadina. Chayana katamapi. Sangato vikaropi. Prathananvita. What word meaning? Shityadinam. Of the five elements, beginning with the earth. Iha, in this world. Arthanam, of those five elements. Chaya, shadow. Na, neither. Katama, which of them? Api, indeed. He, Certainly. Na, nor. Sangataha. Sangataha. Combination. Vikaraha. Transformation. Api. Although. Na prithak. Not separated. Na anvitaha. Nor inherent in. Mrisha. All these theories are without substance. Translation. In this world there are five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air and ether. But the body is not a reflection of them, nor a combination or transformation of them, because the body and its ingredients are neither distinct nor amalgamated. All such theories are insubstantial. Repeat the translation. In this world, there are five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether. But the body is not a reflection of them, nor a combination or transformation of them, because the body and its ingredients are neither distinct nor amalgamated. All such theories are insubstantial. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. A forest is certainly a transformation of the earth, but one tree does not depend on another tree. If one is cut down, this does not mean that the others are cut down. Therefore, the forest is neither a combination nor a transformation of the tree, of the trees. The best explanation is given by Krishna himself. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham tesho vastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Everything is an expansion of Krishna's energy. As it is said, parasya shaktir vivideva shruyate. The Lord has multi energies, which are expressed in different ways. The energies are existing, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead also exists simultaneously. Because everything is His energy, He is simultaneously one with everything and different from everything. Thus, our speculative theories that Atma, the living force, is a combination of matter. That's the first one. Second, the matter is a transformation of the soul, and that the body is part of the soul are all insubstantial. Since all the Lord's energies are simultaneously existing, one must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although He is everything, He is not present in everything. The Lord must be worshipped in His original form as Krishna. He can also present Himself in any one of His various expanded energies. When we worship the deity of the Lord in the temple, the deity appears to be stone or wood. Now, because the Supreme Lord does not have a material body, He is not stone or wood. Yet, stone and wood are not different from Him. Thus, by worshipping stone or wood, we get no result. But when the stone and wood are represented in the Lord's original form, by worshipping the deity, we get the desired result. This is supported by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda, which explains how the Lord can present Himself everywhere and anywhere in a form of His energy to accept service from the devotees.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुवेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे हरे कृष्ण। So Narad Muni's instructions are continuing, but the verses we are reading now, if it's not for Srila Prabhupada's purport, they are very confusing. What exactly it means? I don't know how many times I had to read again and again just to feel okay, now at least I have figured out few percent, 5-10% of it. So, but Srila Prabhupada, through his purport, when he connects all the dots to Krishna, it makes it easy to understand this verse. Otherwise, just the verse itself can be a little complicated. So, if you see, we all have heard and we say so many times, our body is nothing but a combination of these five matters, five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And we use in our day-to-day terminology, so we are just combination of earth, water, fire, air, ether. But this verse smashes that. Neither we are transformation, nor we are combination. So, it makes this verse even more confusing then. But as I said before, Prabhupada's purport and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Siddhanta of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, that makes it understand. And as soon as Krishna is brought into the picture, it gives better light to the whole conversation. Because even the next verse is also continuation of that, but can be confusing. So here Prabhupada gives the example in the purport that the forest is certainly a transformation of the earth, but one tree does not depend on another tree. If one is cut down, this does not mean that others are also cut down. Therefore, the forest is neither a combination nor a transformation of the trees. If you see the way it is explained in the purport and even the way Vishnu Chakra Thakur puts it, what I've understood from reading a couple of times, Vishnu Chakra Thakur's purport and Prabhupada's purport few times, is we are not very, very, you can't very distinctly, very specifically say we are just combination of these matters, because if one element is removed, body will not exist. So in something which is a combination, an element can be removed and still that particular reality can exist, but with the body, if air is removed or earth or any of the element is removed, we just don't live. And here Prabhupada gives the example of a tree. So the dependence of the tree, the forest does not depend on one tree. So if the way Prabhupada has put it is a little different than how Vishnu Chakra Thakur explains this purport, in his purport. Because Prabhupada has a very clear purpose of giving this example, where straight away he brings Krishna's, Bhagavad Gita's instruction in the purport. So, to explain his point, Prabhupada quotes that as an authority, that, oh, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita explains it very well. How? Then he quotes this verse, Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat abhyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani na chaham tesha avasthitaha. That by me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So today, because the topic is such, there will be a bit of reading and less of class. So I'll be just going through this section of Bhagavad Gita 9.4 to 10, just the verses at least, where Krishna explains what is actual achinta bheda bheda tattva. And very nicely the verses are strung together. So when in 9.4 Krishna is saying, in my unmanifested form I am pervading in the whole universe, still all beings are in me but I am not in them. So Vishnuacharya Thakur, his presentation is even on the purports of Bhagavad Gita, on the verses of Bhagavad Gita, he will speak in between the verses that what is Arjun feeling right now. And he expresses Arjuna's feeling that Arjun tells to Krishna that I am very confused now. Are you in or you are not in? So then the next verse Krishna says, verse number 5, and yet everything that is sacred does not rest in me. And then Krishna says, don't be confused. You behold my opulence. This is my opulence, that's why you're confused. Because you are thinking on your terms. But this is my opulence. And what is my opulence? Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. So this confuses Arjuna even more. That you are the maintainer of all living entities and you are everywhere, still you are not part of this cosmic manifestation. But then Krishna mentions this point, because I am the source of creation. Even though I am part of it, I am beyond it, not affected by it. Understand that as a mighty wind blows, blowing everywhere, rests always in the sky. All created beings rest in me in a similar way. This is verse number 6. Then going to the verse number 7, Krishna says to Arjun, O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature. And at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again. If you see the whole, if you understand this whole Siddhanta, we'll discuss a little bit on Achinta Bheda Tattva, Bheda Bheda Tattva, and then we'll come back to the continuation of this verse, which will make it easier. So we have different philosophies which are followed in Vedic system, and especially in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. We know Shankaracharya's, anyone knows what is Shankaracharya's Siddhanta? What is it called? What Shankaracharya follows? Anyone knows what is the technical term for that? Yeah, Advaita Vedanta, basically. Monism. We are one with God. Then, Sri Sampradaya, which is coming from Lakshmi Devi, the Acharya is Ramanuja Acharya. He gave the Siddhanta or philosophy known as Vishisht Advaitavad, which means specific monism. Now I'll not go into details of all the Siddhantas, but he presents it in such a way that he refutes Shankara's philosophy, but yet he establishes dualism, that we are separate from the Lord, part and parcel of Krishna, servant of the Supreme Lord. Yet it is very attractive to people who are attracted to Shankara's Siddhanta also. Then Brahma Sampradaya, in which Madhvacharya is the Acharya, which is coming from Lord Brahma himself, and ISKCON or Gaudiya Siddhanta also is an offshoot of that. So Brahma, specifically Madhvacharya's philosophy was Shuddha Dvaitavad, purified dualism. Then it's Kumar Sampradaya, and the Acharya for Kumar Sampradaya is Nimbarka Acharya. His Siddhanta was Dvaita Advaita Vada, monism and dualism simultaneously. And then it's Vishnu Swami, who is from Rudra Sampradaya, coming from Lord Shiva. He gave the philosophy of Shuddha Advaita Vada, purified monism. So Ramanujacharya gave specific monism and he gave purified monism. But all these four, other than the Shankara Sampradaya, are very specific in their explanation that we are servants of the Supreme Lord. Jiva is part and parcel of the Lord in relationship as a sevak, as a servant. But making it very easy and combining all these philosophies, Lord Chaitanya gave Achinta bhed abheda tattva. That there is simultaneous oneness and difference between us and the Supreme Lord, and that oneness and difference is very inconceivable. So that oneness and difference is very inconceivable, and that's why even Vishwanatha Thakur is saying that Arjuna was also confused. And that's why he's asking Krishna, one place you're saying one thing, and then suddenly you contradict yourself. Even Sri Ishopanishad is like that. I have no feet, but I run. Like that, the verses are like that. So, even in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni's presentation is also a little cryptic. It's not very, very evidently clear. And that's why Srila Prabhupada's purport is very helpful. So, keeping that in mind, that our Siddhanta, which is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, there is oneness, and simultaneously there is difference between the Jiva, us, the living entity, and the Supreme Lord, and which is very inconceivable to understand or to fathom. This verses Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita will make more sense. Where I'm continuing now on verse number 8, where Krishna is saying, whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again. And under my will, it is annihilated at the end. And then verse number 9 is, O Dhananjay, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. So here Krishna is explaining his position, that even though he is completely involved, yet he is not involved. Because he is a neutral player. It doesn't affect him at all. And then he concludes this particular section where he says, this material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. Hetu nanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. So under Krishna's energy, everything is happening. But because it is Krishna's energy, it's non-different from Krishna. And this is exactly what Srila Prabhupada, in this particular purport of the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, is bringing us as the audience. That we can only be in connection with the Supreme Lord by engaging His energy in the service of the Supreme Lord. If you see the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, since all the Lord's energies, this is the last paragraph, since all the Lord's energies are simultaneously existing, one must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although He is everything, He is not present in everything. The Lord must be worshipped in His original form as Krishna. He can also present Himself in any one of His various expanded energies. When we worship the deity of the Lord in the temple, the deity appears to be stone or wood. So now the expansion of the Supreme Lord is through material elements. But when we are worshipping Krishna, when we are worshipping the deity, we are actually worshipping metal, marble, wood as energy of the Lord, because the Supreme Lord has accepted to appear in that particular element. But then Prabhupada says, He is not stone or wood, yet stone and wood are different from Him. So for someone who doesn't have little bit of purified intelligence and who doesn't appreciate Lord Chaitanya's this Siddhanta of inconceivable oneness and difference, this will become super contradictory. This will become very, very confusing. And for us also, if we just go through these purports or translations, it is very, very confusing. Even now it can be very confusing to understand it fully and to explain. Means even I know I'm also struggling. Then Prabhupada continues, thus by worshipping stone or wood, we get no result. There is no result achieved by worshipping wood or stone. But when the stone and wood are represented in Lord's original form, then worship of the deity gives desired result. And for those who are in the line of, you know, they're who are not trained in this culture of deity worship, it is practically so hard, so difficult for them to ever come to this realization that we are face to face with the Supreme Lord. Somehow, at least those who have this cultural backup, it's little easier. Like Burujanpu gives this very famous story that happened in his presence. One of the devotees who was from Islamic background in Vrindavan, serving for decades, she came to Burujanpu and she said, even though I'm serving for more than 20 plus years, I still have difficulties in accepting marble Krishna Balaram as the Supreme Lord. And then Prabhu said, for 40-45 minutes, I just gave her full philosophy of what we are discussing, and much more detail he went through, that how the Lord accepts material elements to accept our prayers, because we have no access to the spiritual form of the Lord. So the Lord uses His own energy to come and reciprocate with us, the Jivas. And after the whole discussion of Prabhu explaining her, and being a very expert teacher and understanding the philosophy through and through, that Mataji said, I am still not convinced. That with the whole philosophy that I am going in front of marble deity thinking that he is Supreme Lord, how actually it is. Then Prabhu told that Mataji, I have given what best I could. Now you go in front of Balaram. In Vrindavan temple, if you go, the center altar is Krishna Balaram altar. So you go in front of Balaram and you express your anxiety. Whatever confusion you are going through, please express him. He is the original spiritual master. He is the one who is the giver of spiritual strength. Even we have Balaram here in form of Baldev next to Jagannath and Subhadra. So he is the giver of spiritual strength. And without spiritual strength, such very deep, complicated topics can be very hard to understand. So Prabhu told that, Mataji, you go in front of Balaram and express all your anxieties, your confusions, your misconceptions, whatever you are expressing to me. But stay there and keep talking to him till you find some answer. So this Mataji went, she stood there for more than an hour and just expressed her heart out that I just can't see you as Supreme Lord. I'm struggling. And then after some time that Mataji came to Prabhu and she said, now I'm fully convinced. So super soul, Lord within the heart, did give her some realization, which of course she didn't tell, and so we don't know what that realization was. But very similar thing, we all can also struggle. And then many people who do struggle, where big personalities, famous personalities, having millions of followers, speaking on Sanatana Dharma, born in Brahmana families, very famous Bhagavad speakers, for them, deity is nothing but a symbolic representation of the Supreme Lord, because you are not qualified yet to focus on the Lord. That's why this is a means for you to focus. And they leave it just there. And this is where Srila Prabhupada, when he was with one of his disciples, walking down to a ghat where to take bath, I think Yamuna was flowing through that place, he used his disciple's hand to step down from the ghat, one stair after another. And as soon as he reached at the bottom of the ghat, he just pushed away the hand of his disciple. And he said, now I don't need you. And the disciple was surprised. Why is he behaving like that? And then Prabhupada said, this is how Mayavadis they do. This is how they deal with the deities. This is how they deal with their guru also. That once they achieve their specific goal, which they are after, then they just reject. They just reject the deity form. They use it as a stepping stone. Once you reach the top of the ladder, you just don't need the ladder because you have reached a higher destination now. So they push away the whole concept. Whereas we see in life of Srila Prabhupada, even though he was establishing deity worship for us, and there are scriptural statements which says that deity worship is for neophytes, but still, a very empowered, powerful acharya also does not see deity as mere representation. because of their absorption in the holy names and in their relationship with the Supreme Lord, they are already having superior realizations. So without deities also, they can have realizations, but they don't treat deities as just mere representations of just metal, marble or wood. So quoting those statements that deity worship is for neophytes, if someone who is not in proper understanding can mistreat or can really misunderstand this whole philosophy. Because we have seen, even though Srila Prabhupada was living in one of the highest realizations, spiritual realizations, still he would very intensely go and pray in front of the deities. And we know there are past times when disciple saw Srila Prabhupada, noticed him, that Srila Prabhupada was very intensely praying in front of the Lord. And Prabhupada, and his disciple asked Prabhupada, why are you so intensely praying to the Lord? And what are you praying for? And Prabhupada, to show an example, he said, I was just praying that I should not fall in Maya. But it was a very intense prayer Srila Prabhupada had to the deities. And then later Srila Prabhupada was telling, because you all are always in Maya because you don't pray intensely. But he was not just praying with closed eyes, which he would do anyways, but he was actually praying to the deities. We hear this Juhu pastime where Srila Prabhupada spent maximum time in his whole manifest last 10 years. The maximum time he has given is for Juhu land in Mumbai to establish the temple of Radha Ras Bihari. And that pastime is very intriguing, how even his own disciples rejected Srila Prabhupada's battle intensity, saying that now Srila Prabhupada is becoming stubborn. His very devout disciples started doubting Srila Prabhupada's commitment to the temple because of the struggle they all were going through. Lot of litigations, constantly visiting courts, fighting with people who were trying to claim over the property, what to speak of the owner who was trying to cheat for the land. And then, in 1977, when everything was completely under ISKCON's control, we got the land, we were not cheated by the original landlord, and all the complications were over, and we were now finally building the temple. Those disciples who went against Srila Prabhupada, literally the words of his very devout disciple was, I don't want to name, but the name is given in the book. That devotee said, Prabhupada, now because of old age, you being stubborn, and you're not accepting your mistake. Because you're being stubborn in old age, you're not accepting your mistake, you're just trying to hold on to this project, neglecting so many other things. Because 550 plus days Srila Prabhupada had spent in Mumbai from 1972 to 77 in 5 years. So that's almost 2 years of his time was in Mumbai. So that means a lot of effort. Then Prabhupada, after getting the property, he called for his disciples and he revealed his heart, why he did that. And Prabhupada said that when first time I established Radha Ras Bihari in a hut, in a tin hut, I promised them that you just please don't leave this place. You somehow stay here and don't leave. I promise you I'll build you a palace-like temple. And he said, because I promised Radha Ras Bihari, who? He promised marble. Right? From a material point of view, if you see, he promised marble, I'll build you a temple. But he fought so intensely because he didn't promise to marble. He promised to Radha Ras Bihari. And then one can say, oh, but deity worship is for neophytes. But a powerful acharya does not see in that line. We know Sanatana Goswami had his deity, and he was keeping those deities on the tree and worshipping them. And he was worshipping those deities completely as he would worship Krishna. And they would talk to each other. If the deity would ask for extra salt or extra ingredients, he would just reject. And there was a conversation between the two. Very, very interesting how how this philosophy has to be understood very, very properly, that we are not dealing with matter. We are dealing with the Supreme Lord who has accepted matter to reciprocate with us. After explaining this section of Krishna's inconceivable potency, then immediately Krishna gives another verse, which is
avajananti mamuda manushimtanum ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram.
Fools that deride me when I descend in human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as a Supreme Lord of all that be. So fools will deride Krishna's appearance. When Krishna was personally there, they would call him human. When Krishna is there in his deity form, they would call him wood, metal, marble. So this is a very classic behavior of someone who is envious of the Supreme Lord. There is an amazing conversation I want to read of Srila Prabhupada, and very direct, very specific questions are asked to Srila Prabhupada and he is answering them. So this is a conversation Srila Prabhupada has. So devotee is asking, if material nature is the absence of Krishna, then what is material? And this is the vision of a pure devotee. Prabhupada says, nothing is material. If you continue Krishna consciousness, there is nothing material. When we offer this flower in Krishna consciousness, is it material? Disciple says, no. Then how has it become spiritual? It was material in the tree, and now it has become spiritual? No, it is spiritual. So this Prabhupada is telling his vision. As long as I was thinking that it is meant for my enjoyment, that flower was material. But as soon as I take it for Krishna's enjoyment, it is spiritual. So actually the entire world is spiritual. Prabhupada says, yes, we want to engage everything in service of Krishna. Then this world will be spiritual. Otherwise, not possible. Prabhupada says, yes, we realize. Mayavad philosophers, they say, jagan mithya, the world is false. We don't say that. Krishna has created so many nice things for Krishna's enjoyment. Why shall I say it's false? Suppose you build a nice house and you call me, oh, please come and just see my house. And I come and say, it's all mithya, it's all false. Devotee says, I'll be very depressed, Prabhupada, if you say so. Prabhupada says, yes, you'll be very depressed, you'll be offended. That's why Bhagavad Gita says, and he quotes that same verse, Prabhupada quotes the same verse 9.4. The demons say like this, asatyam apratishtam ta jagat ahura anishwaram. The rascals, actually this is from 16th chapter, the rascals, the demons say that this world is asatya, untruth, and there is no cause, no Ishwara. This is the declaration of the demons, that there is no cause behind this world. Then Prabhupada starts talking about deity worship, which is so direct and so clear instructions. So the devotee is saying, if someone looks at deity of Krishna and thinks it is only stone or wood, for him it's still material, right? Prabhupada says that is his ignorance. How can it be material? The stone is also Krishna's energy. For example, electricity is everywhere and the electrician knows how to utilize it. Similarly, Krishna is everywhere, even in the stone, and the devotees know how to utilize stone to appreciate Krishna. The rascals do not know. The devotee knows because he has no other view than of Krishna. Why should the stone be without Krishna? Here is Krishna, and he's pointing to the deities. This is real oneness. The Mayavadi philosophers propose oneness, but they divide. Even though the Mayavad philosophers are proposing we're all one, they still divide. Oh, this is stone, this is not Krishna. But then Prabhupada is saying, why bring another thing? Prabhupada is then explaining, everything, Krishna is saying, everything is in being, but I am not in everything. This is called achintya bheda bheda. Simultaneous oneness and difference. Everything is Krishna, but you cannot worship this bench as Krishna. This is rascaldom. The sunshine is also sun, is it not? But when the sunshine is in the room, you cannot say the sun is in my room. This is called achintya bheda bheda. But you said, devotee is saying, but Prabhupada, you said one can see Krishna within the stone. Then Prabhupada is saying, yes, why not? Why not you can see Krishna? We worship everything. We see Krishna everywhere. We don't see the tree. We see Krishna's energy. Therefore, the tree is also worshipable because Krishna and Krishna's energies are both worshipable. And then Prabhupada gives example of his own childhood. He says, therefore we say Hare Krishna. Hare means Krishna's energy. We worship everything. Prabhupada says, in our childhood we were taught by our parents that if a grain of rice falls on the floor, we must pick it up and touch it to our head to show respect. We were taught like this. How to see everything in relationship with Krishna, that is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we do not like to see anything wasted, anything misused. Why are we preaching? Because we see that so many rascals are misusing their life. We think, let us give them some enlightenment. This is our mission. Prabhupada is saying, we could think, oh, let them go to hell. Mayavadi sannyasis engage in meditation or they go to Himalayas. But we have come to Los Angeles. Why? This is our mission. Oh, these people are being misused under Maya. Let them gain some enlightenment. And we are teaching how to utilize everything for Krishna. How to understand Krishna is everything. This is our mission. See Krishna in everything. Krishna says, anyone who sees me everywhere and everything is me is perfect. And this is actually encapsulating Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva properly. That we don't see this bench as Krishna and worships the bench. But we utilize this bench in service of Krishna, and that is seeing this bench as energy of Krishna. So this is the sum and substance what I could understand from this purport and what Srila Prabhupada is saying here. Today is a very important day. It is a disappearance of a very famous personality, Abhiram Thakur. He's a very famous personality, Abhiram Thakur. We all know the famous pastimes of Abhiram Thakur with Raghunandan Thakur. Whoever he bows down in front of, if he bows down in front of a person, and if that person is not pure devotee, that devotee will die. If he bows down in front of a shila, someone is worshipping a shila thinking it's Shaligram shila, like we have many shilas here next to Chota Radha Krishna. So if someone is worshipping a shila, but that's not actual Shaligram, and he offers his obeisances, he bows down, because it is not original, it will burst into pieces. And if it doesn't burst into pieces, that means it's original shila. And if someone is posing as a pure devotee and fooling people, and if he pays obeisances, that person will die if he's genuinely not a pure devotee. So this personality, Abhiram Gopal Thakur, he was also known as Sri Ramdas. And he was basically a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. So on the order of Lord Nityananda, he became a great acharya of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He, like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, was known as Simha Guru. People were scared of him. Because of his spiritual potency, people were very scared of him also, for obvious reasons. But philosophically also, he was very powerful, very, very learned in the scriptures. Now this same Abhiram Thakur, he was living in Krishnanagar, and he was on a with similar times where Lord Nityananda was doing his leela. Many, 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 many amazing pastimes are there with Abhiram Thakur. So Abhiram Thakur in his original position in Krishna Leela is Sridham. His name is Sridham. Krishna had 12 prominent cowherd boys, friends. He was one of the 12 very prominent ones. And there is a very interesting story that once Krishna was playing hide and seek. And while he was playing hide and seek, everyone was hiding, Sridham was hiding. So Krishna told Balaram, along with all other friends, that let's go to Navadip and do Leela there. So they came to Navadip to perform their Leela. which, as Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu, time passed. But Sridham, who was hiding in the cave, stayed there. So once their Gaur Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela started here, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Nityananda Prabhu, go and get Sridham. For so many years he's in the cave. So Nityananda Prabhu goes to Sridham, who is hiding in the cave, and the difference is between Kali Yuga and Dwapar Yuga. Practically he's huge in size, or double the size of Nityananda Prabhu, because Nityananda Prabhu is in Kali Yuga and Sridham was in Dwapar Yuga. So he goes and tells, I am Balram, I am your Balram. You come. Krishna is calling, Lord Chaitanya is calling you. So Sridham first of all was so upset that he was left behind. But then he said, how do I trust you? You are half of my size. How can you be Balram? So then Lord Nityananda says, okay, just so that you trust me, whenever you used to run, I used to catch you very easily. Even though I am half of your size, I'll still catch you. So you run. So this was the test Sridham put in front of Balram, who is Nityananda Prabhu, to testify that yes, he is Balram from Dwapar Yuga. So he started running. When he started running, in just mere few steps, Lord Nityananda caught him. And he agreed. But he was so upset that why you left me in the cave, he expanded himself into an expansion known as Sriram, Sri Ram Das. So Sridham still wanted to remain where he was, but Sridham he expanded into Sridham, who went with Lord Nityananda. And his Abhiram Gopal Thakur was his another name. The many pastimes are there with, especially with Lord Nityananda. He has amazing pastimes. Because he was known for his paying obeisances, people were scared of him. So when Lord Nityananda gave his first birth to his child, Abhiram Thakur came to take darshan or to meet the child. So the child died straight away when he paid obeisances. So Nityananda Prabhu and his wife, anyone knows the name of Nityananda Prabhu's wife? Vasudha. Janva and Vasudha Mataji. So she started crying. Everyone was in a very serious mood. The first child died. Like that, I think 7 kids died. Whenever he would come and he paid obeisances, the child would die. So this time when the child was going to take birth, Nityananda Prabhu told all the boatmen on Ganges that this guy named Abhiram Thakur, do not allow him to come here. Because whenever he has come, he has ruined my happiness. So he should not come over to this side of Ganga, where we are celebrating birth of our child. So then, and neither he gave invitation to Abhiram Thakur to come to his ceremony or celebration they were doing for the newly born child. So Vakreshwar Pandit went and met Abhiram Thakur. And he asked him, hey, why have you not gone to Nityananda's child birth ceremony? He said, but he hasn't invited me. But he said, you are a cowherd boy. Cowherd boys don't need invitation. You just go. So Abhiram Thakur's wife was Malini Dasi. So Malini also encouraged, just go. But then he says, oh, Nityananda is scared of me. That if I go again, his child may die. But anyways, I'm still going. So he goes to the shore of the Ganga. And the boatmen were very alert because they were very worried of Nityananda Prabhu's curse also. He is the Supreme Lord. So he came and he said, take me to that side. So boatmen started interviewing him. He did a full interview of Abhiram Thakur. Who are you? First explain and give in reality what your details are. Give us your name. Because we have clear instructions that a person named Abhiram Thakur should not come here. And otherwise, we'll be cursed by Nityananda Prabhu. And we can't handle his anger. So you should not come this side of the boat, this side of the river. And he insisted, no, I want to go. And the boatman understood, oh, he is Abhiram Thakur. You know what the boatman did? He forcefully started putting water in his boat and drowned his boat. He drowned his boat. Seeing him, all the boatmen drowned their boat. That now how can we take you? And we will not upset Nityananda Prabhu. But he was such a great mystic, very powerful personality, he just took his gamcha off and he threw in the river. And his gamcha started floating. And he sat on the gamcha and crossed the river. Gamcha is a towel. Your towel you wear, they usually in villages they wear. And he just made that as a boat and just crossed the river and came. And then when he came, now Nityananda Prabhu found out that he is coming. So he didn't disrespect him. With all the mahants, all the brahmanas, he went and welcomed him. They said, okay, please come visit my home. But mothers were shaking. Janva Mata and Vasudha Mata, they were shaking. They knew, my God, again he'll pay obeisances. So he said, now, okay, bring your child, I want to pay obeisances. So when he paid obeisances, nothing happened to the child. So Abhiram Thakur declared, okay, Lord Vishnu's Ansha has come. So nothing will happen. It's time for celebration now. And he also took darshan and then. So then they were feeding him. Abhiram Thakur. They started feeding him and he was just eating non-stop. And as a cowherd boy, he just went on eating, eating, eating. And whatever they had cooked for the festival, Abhiram Thakur finished it alone. So he finished everything and then Nityananda Prabhu came to him and said, you remember, as Balaram, we were cowherd friends. We used to eat and share together. But here you have finished everything. Where is your concept of sharing gone now? And then Abhiram Thakur starts joking with Balaram, who is Nityananda Prabhu. He says, why are you so worried? Just go and check your kitchen. Nothing is finished. And Nityananda Prabhu goes back to his kitchen and sees whatever they had cooked, double the amount was already available in the kitchen. And then they distributed to the whole festival. This amazing pastime went on and everyone glorified Abhiram Thakur. So, he is such a personality. He had a whip, a bull whip. And the whip was known that whoever he touches his whip to, that person will gain love for Krishna. So we all have heard name of Srinivas Acharya, who is the next generation devotee. So one time he came in front of Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas Acharya paid him obeisances and he started touching him, his body with the whip. He did once, twice, three times he did. So his wife started shouting, stop, stop. Srinivas Acharya will not be able to handle what you are trying to offer him. He said, don't worry. From today onwards, he will express and experience pure love for Krishna. And nothing less than that. Because of my touch. So, he had a flute. The name of the flute was, where is the name going? Oh no, the whip, the name of the whip was Jai Mangal. His name of his whip was Jai Mangal. So a whole pastime became very famous that there is a devotee, a small young boy, Raghunandan Thakur, who has made deity to come down from the altar and eat the laddu. Because his father went away and he asked his young son, you just feed Krishna. Offer whatever mother cooks, the laddus, and make sure that Gopal eats. So father went away and then Raghunandan Thakur was offering, but Gopal didn't come. Deities, they eat through their eyes. They don't come and eat like us. So he said, but you're not eating. You're supposed to eat. Then after so much of him crying, Gopal started speaking that I am a deity. I don't eat like you eat. I eat through my drishti. I just look at an offering and I accept it. He said, no, my father said to feed you. You have to eat. So after so much of him insisting the Lord came down and started eating. And he came back with an empty plate to his mother. And mother said, where is laddu? Where are all the laddus? He said, Gopal ate. So mother found something fishy. Mother thought maybe he ate or something he did with it. The next day when the father returned, mother told the whole story to the father and father went and hid behind the curtain to see what exactly Raghunandan Thakur does. Then same thing he does. He's telling the deity, you come and eat. So after so much of crying and insisting, this 5-6 year old boy, Gopal starts to speak. And the father is hearing. Gopal is saying, I don't eat the way you eat. I eat through my eyes. I've eaten it. You take it. He said, no, yesterday you ate. You have to eat today also. And then Gopal said, okay, okay, I'll come. And he came down and he picked up the laddu and started eating. Now Ranganandan Thakur's father, who was behind the curtain, he lost all composure seeing that my Gopal, whom I'm serving for years, has never reciprocated like that. How powerful a devotee my son is, that the Gopal has come down from the altar and is eating now. So he, out of his ecstasy, he came out of the curtain. And then Gopal, who was eating laddu like this, stayed like that. That laddu Gopal we worship is that form of the Lord, who just came out because of Raghunandan Thakur's devotion, and he just stayed like that. So this became very famous. And Abhiram Thakur also heard about this leela. And he came to the village where Raghunandan Thakur was living to take darshan of Abhiram Thakur, of Raghunandan Thakur. Now, the parents knew, if he pays obeisances and the person is not a pure devotee, the child will die or the person will die. So they were trying to hide Raghunandan Thakur by sending him to auntie's house and everywhere. But Raghunandan Thakur, when he found out that Abhiram Thakur, who is none other than Krishna's prime cowherd friend, which Sridham, has come to my village, he came running in front of Abhiram Thakur. As soon as he came, Abhiram Thakur paid him obeisances, and parents were shaking. They saw this happening and they knew he may die. Even though the father had seen him exhibiting pure devotion and the Lord came down to eat his offering, but he may die. But nothing happened to Raghunandan Thakur. And through his whip, he touched Raghunandan Thakur, who became ecstatic in love for Krishna. So today is his disappearance day. There are many more pastimes, very interesting pastimes. But we'll stop here. Seeking his blessings and praying to him that may we experience pure devotion one day. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments anyone has? Yes. Haribo. Yeah. Oh, mic is coming.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, you mean we know that Krishna is qualitatively one with us, but quantitatively he is unlimited and well limited. So, Prabhu, we hear in lectures that like the demigods, they have 50 qualities. Brahma has like 60 qualities out of the 64 qualities that Lord Krishna has. So as living entities, why don't we have like the exact same qualities when we're qualitatively same as Lord Krishna, but in quantity we're like different to Krishna?
So qualitatively saying that we are same as Krishna is not to the point of 100% sameness. We are qualitatively similar to Krishna because we are his part and parcel, and an ansha, which is in technical terms known as vibhin ansha or separated part and parcel of Krishna, the only capacity we hold is up to having 50 qualities out of Krishna's 64 qualities. So sometimes we say, we are as same as the Supreme Lord. Atma is as same as the Supreme Lord. It's not really. When the powerful devatas are not same, when even Brahma and Lord Shiva or even many Vishnu forms are not same in qualities to what Krishna exhibits, then how can living entities be same? But to still be, to still have 78% of qualities of the Lord, soul which is on the purest level, that's a lot. Means practically speaking, a person who can realize God, who can completely transcend material nature, who can get liberated aloof from this material quagmire altogether, can be 78% God, and that's a lot. And that's a lot. So for a jiva, for a living entity to exhibit. So from that point of view, it's said, and to explain many examples, Prabhupada gives that gold ring in your finger and gold in the gold mine. Chemically, they may be same,
But there is a huge difference in quantity. One is the source. Gold mine is the source of the ring we are wearing in your finger. Is it okay? Anything else?
Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Abhiram Thakur ki jai, Hare Krishna.